بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم بمصابنا بسيدنا ومولانا أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام، وجعلنا الله وإياكم من الطالبين بثأره بين يدي الإمام المنصور المؤيد المهدي من آل محمد. اللهم صل. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا، وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، يقول الله في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطهيرا. اللهم صل على محمد. Continuing in part two of our discussion of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib عليه السلام in the Quran, we stressed last night that the minimum number of verses revealed in honor of Imam Ali عليه السلام in the Quran is 70. And that some scholars reach a conclusion that there are over 300 verses in the Quran, which means in reality 5% of the Quran, where these verses were revealed in one way or the other in honor of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. We know very well that Hadith al-Thaqalain instructs us that I leave behind for you two weighty things. Hold on to them and you will never go astray: the Quran and my Ahlul Bayt. Likewise, the Prophet had stressed that Ali is with the Qur'an and the Qur'an is with Ali. Therefore, naturally, as the religion of Islam grew and as it evolved from Mecca to Medina, there are many moments where Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam was of the utmost importance in its development. Therefore, some of these incidents would either be in Hadith and some of them will be within the Qur'an. Let's tonight look at a number of other verses in which Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam received the honor of a verse of the Quran related to him. The first of them is one that very much relates to the Muslim world's conceptions of Imam Ali alayhi salam. We know that there are nearly 3 billion or so Muslims in the world today, or we should say 1.5 billion Muslims in the world. In the world today, you'll find, and then you have others who are people of the book. Of those 1.5 billion Muslims in the world today, you find that all of them admire Imam Ali alayhi salam. All of them, in one way or the other, revere Imam Ali alayhi salam, in the sense that you'll find that they'll either call him, for example, one of the greatest companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, or they'll say, for example, he's the fourth Khalifa. But one thing that there is a clear difference between the Shia and other Muslims in the world is the way the Shia revere Imam Ali alayhi salam by calling him ma'soom, or by calling him infallible. The first verse we want to look at tonight is arguably the most important verse when it comes to discussing the infallibility of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Because yes, there are many non-Shia in the world who say to you, listen, I love Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. I admire him. I revere him. But I don't believe he's ma'soom. I believe he's somebody like anybody else around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, who has great attributes, but you cannot tell me that he lived his whole life having never once erred or never once committed at least a minor sin. You'll find that many Muslims who are not Shia do not believe in the isma of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. But they cannot understand why we, the Shia, believe in his infallibility. Why is it that every Shi'i, when you ask him about the Ma'sumeen, he says to you, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, Imam Ali alayhi salam, Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, all the way until Imam Sahib al-Asr wal-Zaman, you'll find them saying that we believe that our Imams are Ma'sum. Of course, you might find certain epochs in Shi'i history or certain periods where you may have had some who classified themselves as Shia and called their imams, for example, ulama abrar, righteous scholars, for example. But you'll find that on the whole, when a person does a survey of 14 centuries of Shia, we believe that Imam Ali alayhi salam is ma'soom. If you were to ask a Shi'i, or you ask yourself, how do I prove the isma of Imam Ali alayhi salam? When I say that Imam Ali alayhi salam lived his whole life from the day of his birth until a night like this in Kufa, never once committing a mistake, never once committing a sin, you'll find some who say, you people exaggerate Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. You make him sound like he is similar to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Even though not all Muslims believe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi is ma'soom in everything. They say, in some cases, that the Prophet, peace be upon him, his family, is infallible when it comes to wahi. When the revelation reaches him, he never makes a mistake. Whereas in other areas of his life, he may make a mistake. But on the whole, you'll find that Muslims will say, only Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi is ma'soom. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, Imam Ali alayhi salam could make mistakes. Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam could make mistakes. Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam could make mistakes. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam could make mistakes. And that's why when people look at, for example, the war of words that happened between Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam and the first Khalifa, many Shia cannot understand why non-Shia don't see it as an issue. The reality is that non-Shia look at it and say, what's the problem? Fatima is not ma'soma. Abu Bakr is not ma'soom. So you have two people who are having a problem with each other. Why you guys look at it as a big issue? The man is not ma'soom and she is not ma'sooma. So when they look at us Shia saying Fatima al-Zahra, Fatima al-Ma'sooma, Imam Ali al-Ma'soom, Imam al-Hasan al-Ma'soom, Imam al-Husayn al-Ma'soom, they look at us and say, Baba, you guys have exaggerated Ahlul Bayt. You guys have taken Ahlul Bayt too high by saying that Ahlul Bayt salawatullah wa salamu alayhim are ma'soomeen. We reply with one of the ayahs tonight. Where in the Quran does it say that Ahlul Bayt are ma'soomeen? If someone today, even my own son or your son, comes to you and says, Dad, we believe that Imams are ma'soom. So yes, we believe that Imams are ma'soom. Dad, firstly, rationally, how do I believe someone can live their whole life as a ma'soom? Rationally, if God wants to create somebody and keep him ma'soom his whole life, why can God not do it? إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. If Allah wants something, he will say be and it will be. Secondly, in our lives, we've met some people, if you were to associate them with an act which is a sin, I will turn around and say no way. If someone today told me, Ayatollah Sistani, may Allah lengthen his life, perform this act or this act, I'll be like, no chance. Why? Because I've recognized that Ayatollah Sistani has lived a life virtually, if a person looks at it, virtually as a ma'soom his whole life. In the sense of what? In the sense of that which we can see. Privately, everybody is between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, if a normal person, we can say 70%, 80% of their life, they've lived without committing a mistake or a sin, then how can I doubt, for example, that somebody who was raised in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, somebody who used to hear the wahi in Ghar Hira, somebody whose food was chewed by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, how can I doubt that somebody like that cannot reach the level of asma? But people say, show me in the Quran. Don't give me rational. Don't give me hadith. Show me in the Quran where it shows that Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, Fatima al-Zahra, Imam al-Hasan, Imam al-Husayn, where does it show that they are ma'sumeen? I say, okay, let's go to the Quran. If I go to the Quran, I go to Surah Al-Ahzab. Al-Ahzab, of course, means the tribes who came together to fight Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi in the Battle of Khandaq. In Surah Al-Ahzab, go to Surah 33, verse 33. You will see where the ismah of Imam Ali and Fatima al-Zahra and Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam lies. Someone say, Sayyidina, I went to Surah 33, verse 33. I didn't find it. I said, what do you mean? He said, you said in Surah 33, verse 33, Imam Ali is in the Quran. Fatima al-Zahra is in the Quran. Imam al-Hasan, Imam al-Husayn. But I opened Surah 33, verse 33 of the Quran. It said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, waqarna fi buyutikunna. ولا تبرجنا تبرج الجاهلية الأولى وأقمنا الصلاة وآتينا الزكاة وأطعنا الله ورسوله. It's like Sayyidina, this is talking about the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Because many people assume verse 33 of Surah 33, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ, is the whole ayah. No, it's in the middle. The beginning of the ayah is about the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. The previous ayat before 33 are all about who? About the wives of the Prophet, peace be upon him, his family. Verse 29, verse 30, verse 31, verse 32, and the beginning of verse 33 is speaking about the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. If you study those verses before these verses, they divide the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi into two groups. One group who want dunya, another who want akhirah. Therefore, if they're divided into two groups, that there's one who wants dunya and the other wants akhirah, then there is no way that this whole wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi is who the verse of Tathir is about. Because the verses are saying that there is a group who want their dunya, another group who want akhirah. The verse of infallibility therefore cannot refer to the wives, because the wives, Allah is saying they're two different types of groups. Those verses before this verse, those verses, what are they discussing? They're discussing how some wives were complaining to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Why is it that we don't get the share of the booty of these wars, for example? Why is it that we don't get what others get? The Quran said, those of you who want to remain with the Prophet, stay with the Prophet. Obey him, will reward you. Those who don't want to stay with the Prophet, come here next to me, umatti'kunna wa usarrihkunna sarahan jameela. I'll let you go, you can go away. Ya nisa al-Nabi, lastunna ka ahadin min al-nisa in attaqaytunna. O wives of the Prophet, you are not like any other wives if you have taqwa. فَلَا تَغْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٍ. So don't play about with your speech. The one with who there is a disease in their heart will be affected. Tell me that's someone who's ma'soom. Therefore, when someone says to me that the beginning of Ayat al-Tathir, the verse of infallibility, which we in our communities talk of Hadith al-Kisa, when it begins in verse 33, verse 33 talks about the wives of the Prophet. I have no doubt about that. وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ الْأُولَى. Stay in your houses and do not display your fineness like you did in the days of ignorance. أَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةَ آتينا الزكاة. Establish salah, give the zakat. أطعنا الله ورسوله, obey Allah and His Prophet. Then it moves, إنما يريد الله ليذهب عنكم الرجس أهل البيت ويطهركم تطيرا. Now, someone here turns around and says, Sayyidina, that means the wives are ma'soom. I said already, number one, the wives are split into two groups. Already the Quran is reprimanding some of the wives for the behavior. That's number one. Number two, the beginning speaks in the feminine. Then it changes into the masculine. The beginning of the ayah begins, وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا. All of this is feminine. When it changes in the middle of the ayah, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ يُطَهِرَكُمْ. All of that changes into the masculine. So therefore, clearly there's been a change. If it was just talking about the wives, then it would have continued in the feminine. When it's moved to the masculine, clearly something here has changed. Someone says, but Sayyidina, you know, in Arabic grammar, even if it changes to the masculine, the feminine is still included in the masculine. That means, okay, it may talk about, for example, the family, but also talks about the females in the family. Firstly, we don't deny that because there is a female in the revelation of this. Secondly, let's look at where this verse was revealed. Let's see. Is it just in Shi'i books we believe in Hadith al-Kisa in the sense of Ashab al-Kisa? No. If you want to go to a work of non-Shi'a, then you can look towards works such as, for example, Sahih of Muslim. Or you look at Tirmidhi, for example. Where did this incident take place? In the house of Salama. In the house of Salama, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Whenever anybody would ask what happened under the kisa, the cloak, they would always say, whether they asked Umar and he would say, go to Aisha, they'd ask Aisha, she'd say, ask Salama, because Salama is where this incident took place. They say that Salama was told by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, that, oh Salama, don't allow any of the general people to enter our house today, for I am expecting an important revelation to come down. Who came knocked at the door? Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. She had prepared some food for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, his favorite dish. Salama said, how can I turn away Fatima when she is at the door? She said that I opened the door for Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. Who else came? Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. What do the Shia, are we the only ones who believe that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, Imam Ali, Fatima al-Zahra, Imam al-Hasan, Imam al-Hussein all came under the cloak? No. Non-Shia and Shia. But all I need to refer to on the first level is my tafasir. On the second level, let's see, did the Imams ever say this ayah is about us? You see, if the wives of the Prophet, this ayah is about them, then surely one day one of them would say it's about me. Allah revealed the ayah, innama yuridullahu, about me, the wife of the Prophet. Can you find me one wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, who ever said that the incident of the kisa and the isma that was put upon them was about her? Did Salama ever say, I am the one? Salama says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, got Imam Ali alayhi salam, got Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, got Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, got Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. When you ask me as a Shia, why do I believe in the infallibility of Ahlul Bayt salawatullahi wa salam? Because when I read an ayah saying, innama yuridullahu liyudhiba ankum rijsa Ahlul Bayti, I look at that and I notice what? Ahlul Bayt can be two meanings. Ahl of a bayt means your family in a house, or a theological meaning. As you can see in Sahih Muslim, when the question is asked, O Prophet of God, who are your Ahlul Bayt? Are your wives included? My dear brothers and sisters, all of you can go online today. The question was asked to Rasulullah in Sahih Muslim, are your wives included in Ahlul Bayt? He said, they are part of my family. But not who this is about. This is for those for whom the payment of the charity is forbidden. So therefore, you found that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered Imam Ali alayhi salam in the Quran, Bibi Fatima in the Quran, Imam al-Hasan, Imam al-Hussein, he made it clear, oh Allah, these are my Ahlul Bayt. Purify them with a thorough purification and keep away from them. Keep away. You know, some translations are very clever. In the translation, liyudhiba, they translate as remove all impurities. Remove. When you remove, it means it's already on there. True? Whereas keep away means there is a grace where nothing can come near them. Therefore, Rasulullah prayed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Innama yuridu Allahu liyudhiba ankum ritsa ahla al-bayti wa yutahirakum. When this was revealed, Salama was there. She said, can I join? Salama said, can I join with you under the cloak? This seems to be a very mystical moment. This isn't a normal moment. This is a mystical moment. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets a piece of cloak and gathers these five. Nobody else. These five, I gather them and I'm asking, liyudhiba anhum ar-rijs, keep away from them all impurity. Impurity of envy, impurity of hasad, nifaq, impurity of, for example, all of that ghadab for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the impurity of committing sins. Keep that away, ya Allah. I'm asking you to do it. Allah replied, simple. Innama yuridul. Allah wants to keep away from you all impurities, O family of the house, O family of the Prophet, O people of the house, and purify you, a thorough purification. My dear brothers who are not Shia at home, what is yutahhirakum tathira? Yani, what is that meaning? At the end of the day, I'm not just waking up one morning and said, you know what, 14 people in Islamic history, let me get a lottery ball and I'll pick 14 names and say they're ma'soom. Why would I do that? At the end of the day, firstly, I see an ayah where it says, innama yuridullahu, Allah wants to, Allah intends to keep away from you all impurity. If that was said about anybody else, wallah, they'll call them ma'soom. But because it was about Ali ibn Abi Talib, they had to find a way of going around it. If it wasn't, wallah, if it was about anyone else, kisa, oh fulan, you come under the kisa, today everybody would believe they're ma'soom. Without that, they believe they're ma'soom. Because you tell me as a Shi'i that I believe 14 ma'soomin. You have 100,000. If I say one word, you call me sectarian. One word, if you question an action, you're sectarian. I have 14, you have 100,000, you can't even utter. If he sat with the Prophet, ate with the Prophet, looked at the Prophet, even if he fought the son-in-law of the Prophet, you still have to say, may Allah be pleased with him. Therefore, in the Quran, did the wives ever say this ayah is about us? Because I would use this ayah if it's about me. It's a sick ayah. I would use the ayah. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ الْيُذِبَ I would use it, I promise you if it was about me, I'll go to everybody in the beginning of the Battle of Jamal, and I'll say, I am the lady who إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ was revealed about. Couldn't she use it? Salama could have used it. Habiba could have used it. Couldn't other wives have used it? Why did no wife use it? Did Imam Ali alayhi salam use it? Tick. Did Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam use it? Tick. Did Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam use it? Tick. Imam Ali alayhi salam with Abu Bakr, he says to him, your family or mine is the one who the ayah of Tathir was revealed about. When Umar ibn al-Khattab made a shura of 6 people to choose the next Khalifa, he said, I am the one you're asking about Khalifa? Is it me who ayat al-Tathir was revealed about or you? Imam al-Hasan after the peace treaty with Muawiyah said, we are the family of ayat al-Tathir. Imam Zain al-Abidin in Sham, when he meets the man who was doing seb of Imam Zain al-Abidin. And he said to him, have you read the Quran? Subhanallah. Have you read the Quran? He said to him, yes. He said, have you read the ayah, innama yuridu Allahu liyudhba'ankum ar-rijsa ahlil bayt? He said, yes, of course. He goes, you know who it refers to? He goes, yes, ahlil bayt. He said, who are we? Therefore, when my imams one by one are saying that this ayah was revealed in our honor, that's why I believe Imam Ali is ma'soom. Therefore, when you come to me and say, you Shia exaggerate Ali, Habibi, I look at an ayah of the Quran and I see that somehow Rasulullah brought Imam Ali, Bibi Fatima, Imam al-Hasan, Imam al-Husayn and placed them under the cloak. What do you want me to conclude after that? What do you want me to conclude? If it said, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to bring you oranges and tomatoes, then I would conclude that day they had oranges and tomatoes. If it said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to bring for you camels outside your house, the camels have been brought outside. It said, innama yuridu Allahu liyudhhiba ankum ar-rijs. Ar-rijs min al-awthan, ar-rijs min qawl al-zur, ar-rijs which is khamur, ar-rijs which is, for example, al-ansab, wal-azlam. All of these are rijs, but none of them come near al-Muhammad. Further than that, show me in the life of Ali where there was a moment you saw him do anything opposite to what Allah wanted. Because maybe if you say to me, yeah, this ayah, if it's about him being ma'soom, how about the day he did this? Show me a day where Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam ever in his life, did he ever bow to an idol? That's why many don't say radiyallahu anhu next to his name. They say karramallah wajha. There are many of the companions of the Prophet, next to their name you have to write, may Allah be pleased with them. Whereas next to Imam Ali alayhi salam, Allah has honored the face of the son of Abu Talib. For he never once bowed to an idol. Never once was he a mushrik. Never once did he bury his daughter alive. Never once was he a drunkard in the land of Mecca. Never once was he someone who was a scammer amongst the Quraysh. Never could anyone point at anything against the son of Abu Talib. And that's why Hindus write poetry about him. Christians write poems about him. Sikhs admire him. Do you know why? Because they look around at everybody else around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no difference between us. Whereas this man, there's a clear difference between the one who Allah has guided and the one who requires guidance himself. How many ayahs do you read in the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, are they equal, the one who Allah guides and the one who needs guidance himself? Therefore, for us, the first ayah is ayat al-Tathir. Ayat al-Tathir, in honor of Imam Ali alayhi salam, highlighted the ismah of al-Muhammad salawatullah wa salamu alayhim. If I therefore know that they're ma'soom, what did the Prophet want me to do? Don't just know that they're ma'soom. make sure that you express your love for them. The second ayah in honor of Imam Ali alayhi salam that we honor tonight, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Medinians, amongst others, the Ansar, the Muhajirun, had come to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his family. You know, this ayah has a number of meanings, which I'll come to shortly. But these people, there is one opinion that this ayah, the second one, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا. Say, I do not ask from you any recompense. Every prophet of God, when the people would come and say, can we give you something? What would each prophet say? أَجْرِ عَلَى الله. True? Every prophet would say that my ajr is with Allah. Baba, we'll give you some money. My ajr is with Allah. Baba, we'll give you a house. My ajr is with Allah. Baba, we'll give you our camels, our horses. My ajr is with Allah. The only prophet of God who, when people said to him, what is it that we can give you back? He said, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا in Surah 42 verse 23. إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. Say, I do not ask from you. قُلْ, the heavens are telling him. قُلْ, O Muhammad, say to them, لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. Say, I do not ask from you anything except what? Now, مَوَدَّ فِي الْقُرْبَى. In English, love for the near. Love for the near ones. Love for the kindred. Everybody gave a tafsir of this ayah. What did I say last night? It's a miracle that there are ayahs existing today where people still related to Imam Ali, because there are many who try to delete the tafsir, take it away from Imam Ali alayhi salam. Do you know what tafsir I've read for this ayah? قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. The first one I read was what? I don't ask anything from you except loving to be near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what do you mean, I don't ask anything from you except loving to be near to Allah? They said that what it means, لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. قُرْبَى meaning what? اتقرب لله بالصلاة. Get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your salah. اتقرب لله بالصوم. اتقرب لله بالدعاء. So the Prophet said, I don't ask nothing from you. I don't want anything from you except love for being nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I read that one tafsir. A second tafsir, what did the Prophet say? قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. I don't ask nothing from you except that you show love to me, O people, because my mother, Amina, is related to you. So therefore, show love to me at least. Don't fight me all the time. But then I go to my Shia tafsir. Because even non-Shia, there is a discussion where you'll find the likes of Ahmed bin Hanbal, who, when the Prophet was asked, who are your near ones? And he would say, Imam Ali bin Abi Talib, Fatimah al-Zahra, Imam al-Hassan, Imam al-Hussein, I don't ask from you anything except love for my family. I remember in the tafsir of Al-Furat al-Kufi, says that one day Jabir bin Abdullah al-Ansari narrates, we were sitting in the gardens of Banu Haritha. We were sitting with the Prophet, peace be upon him, his family. There was a camel that came, it done sujood right in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Imagine, this camel was walking and it prostrated right opposite the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family. He says that when we saw this, Umar ibn al-Khattab looked at this. This is of course a miracle that the animal prostrates right before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Umar ibn al-Khattab saw this. He said, the camel prostrates before you, Ya Rasulullah. This is a sign of your greatness. He said, Ya Rasulullah, what can we give you back in return? The Prophet at the beginning said to him, you know, this camel, because of this barakah that's associated with it, let it go out and be buy it and let it be free. Then he said, Ya Rasulullah, what can we do? You are a blessing amongst us. What can we give you back in return? He replied, قُلْ لَا, the ayah came down, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. I don't ask anything from you except for love for my near ones, love for my family. Why was the Prophet insisting on this? This is a very important point. You know, when you begin, there is no animosity to you if you're just one in number or two in number. True? There's no fighting if there's only... If you think about it, if there's one person in a city, is there any fighting? No. The more people who live in a city, is there more chance of fighting? Do you agree? The bigger the number of people in a city, isn't there more chance of fighting? He knew from Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar that there will be a great number of descendants of his. And he knew that those descendants of his one day will have great lovers who will reciprocate the love that they showed to them. But he knew that those near ones of his, because as more they increase, there will be more hate to them. Do you agree? Therefore, when the Prophet said, you know, I could be like any other prophet and not ask for anything. I could just say, Ajar ala Allah. That's it. Why is he the only prophet of God who said, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. Why? Number one, they are ma'soom. Don't fight them. You will perish and you'll ruin the society you're in. Because that society, they are the stars for that society. The same way the stars act as a guide for us when we travel. Al Muhammad are the stars for us in our life. They are like Safinat Nuh, Noah's Ark. You go with them, you are saved. And if not, you drown and perish. Therefore, when the Prophet could have easily said, my ajr is with Allah, why did he say, Al-mawaddata fil qurba, love for my near ones, not any type of love. He wanted both the lovers of Ahlul Bayt and others to realize that if you truly want to pay me back, because you know when someone's done you a particular favor, you want to give them something back, don't you? So when the Prophet has done all this for us, he's like, you want to pay me back? Don't buy me a house. Don't buy me a car. Don't buy me luxury. Don't do anything for me. These show love to them. That's all I ask. How do we know this ayah is about them in particular, about Imam Ali, about Imam al-Hasan, about Imam al-Hussein, about Al Muhammad? Again, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, again in Sham. When that man cursed Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam in Sham, what did Imam Zain al-Abidin do? He said to him, have you read the Quran? He said, yes. Inna ma yuridu, we just mentioned, he said to him, he said, yes. He said, who's inna ma yuridu about? He said, us. He said, how about قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. Who is that about? He said, this is about Ahlul Bayt. He said, who are we? Therefore, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, giving the tafsir of this ayah, made it clear that قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. مُو الْقَرَابَ لِلَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالصَّوْمِ اتَقَرَّبْ إِلَى اللَّهِ by praying and fasting. Nor is it that the Prophet's like, you know, I'm related to you guys, so can you like look after me because I'm related to you? No. Rather, it is those who Allah has chosen, namely Ali, Fatima, Hassan, Hussein, and those from the line of them, and not even just those from the line of them, even those that continue to come for many years to come. Believe you me, there are non-Shia in the world. Non-Shia, I've seen in Pakistan. But when they hear your Sadat, they come and jump on you, kiss you. Why? Because you are near to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi. They want to observe that which is made clear for the Holy Prophet and in the Quran. So therefore, the second ayah tonight, which one? قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. If the first ayah is that Ahlul Bayt are ma'soom, Imam Ali is a ma'soom, and the second is that we must love him, what's the name of the group that call themselves the lovers and the party of Ali? What's our name? The Shia, correct? We call ourselves the followers. And we call ourselves the party of Ali. When we call ourselves the party of Ali, someone turns around to me and says, in the Quran, has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made clear that the Shia of Ali are the victorious? Is there an ayah in the Quran where Imam Ali's Shia are mentioned as being victorious? Because when I look for Imam Ali in the Quran, that means I'm looking for the tafsir of an ayah. And the tafsir of the ayah is that Ali and his Shia. Go to Surah 98, verse 7 of the Quran. Surah Al-Bayyinah, small surah, the last part, last juz of the Quran. Surah Al-Bayyinah, what does it say? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, inna alladhina amanu وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ Verily those who believe and do the good deeds, they are the best of the people, no doubt. They are the best of the people. Okay, what's the tafsir of this ayah? Who is it about? I remember years back reading Al-Durr al-Manthur of Jalal al-Din al-Suyuti. Suyuti, within the door, mentions right next to the tafsir of this ayah. Suyuti is not a Shia. Right next to the tafsir of this ayah, Suyuti writes a couple of narrations from the likes of, for example, Ibn Asakir, from the likes of Ibn Adi, from others. He writes in these narrations, there was one, Ibn Asakir, from Jabir bin Abdullah al-Ansari, says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, we were sitting with him one day, and he said, by the Lord who appointed me. As he was saying this, he then turned around and said, إِنَّ هَذَا وَشِيعَتَهُ لَهُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ This man and his Shia are the victorious ones on the Day of Judgment. He said that. He then said the revelation was revealed. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرَ الْبَرِيَةِ He said, when that was revealed, he said, Ali, son of Abu Talib, khayrul bariya. The best of people you'll ever find is Ali, son of Abu Talib. This is where Imam Ali, in the Quran, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَةِ He first didn't begin by saying, Imam Ali is khayrul bariya in this ayah. He began by saying, إِنَّ هَذَا وَشِيَعَةٌ Him and his Shia. That means that from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, he was already mentioning Shi'at Ali. Because you know how many people say Shi'a began when there was a problem in the time of Uthman. Then there were others who say Shi'a began when Imam Ali and Muawiyah had the battle of Siffin. Then there's others who say Shi'a began after Karbala al-Husayn. We reply by saying what? We reply by saying, look here, in the Quran, Surah 98, verse number 7. In the time of Rasul, Quran is revealed after Rasul or during Rasul? During the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi, when this verse was revealed, Rasul said, إِنَّ هَذَا وَشِيَعَتَهُ لَهُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ On the day of judgment, him and his Shia, they are the victorious ones. And then he turned around and said, Ali Khair al-Bariya. And how many pieces of poetry have been written about Imam Ali being Khair al-Bariya? Many times, great poets have written about how Imam Ali was the best of the people. But notice here that there's a mention. It's one thing knowing Imam Ali is ma'soom. It's another to express love for him. It's a third to be recognized as one of his Shia. Because many times people say, why do you guys say Shia? Why don't you say Muslim? How many times do you hear that? Why do you call yourself Shia? Why don't you say Muslim? Habibi, I'm a Muslim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. But I see that there were Shia named in relation to followers. When the ayah in the Quran said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa inna min shi'atihi la Ibrahim. From the Shia, why didn't say wa inna min, for example, al mu'mineen min al muslimin wa inna min al tabi'uh? No, it says wa inna min shi'atihi la Ibrahim. One of the Shia of Nabi Nuh was Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Therefore, why you ask me? Nabi Ibrahim is called a Muslim one day, another day he's called Shia. So one day I'm a Muslim publicly. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. I believe in Islam. But there's no way, no chance at all that you're able to reach the highest levels of Iman without the Amir of the Mu'mineen. Islam, a person can marry now my cousin. He's not a Muslim. I read for him 7-8 words, he converts. The Aqd is done between him and my cousin. Do you agree? Islam, anyone can convert. Iman can only be achieved. And the highest level of Iman I'm talking. Because I believe there are some non-Shia, they reach good levels of Iman. But you want to reach the depths of Iman, the secrets of Iman, the meaning of Iman, you go to the Amir of the Mu'mineen. It's through him that you go. So therefore, when I say I'm Shi'at Ali, firstly, this hadith, in reference to this ayah, says, إِنَّ هَذَا وَشِعَ Why did it say, إِنَّ هَذَا وَمَنْ يَتَّبِعَ For example, Ali ibn Abi Talib is one of those who are successful. Why did it say whichever Muslim loves Ali ibn Abi Talib? What's inna hada wa shi'ata? Him and his Shia. Him and his followers. What does it indicate on the first level? Fighting him is fighting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First level, let's make that clear. Because how many injunctions do you go on? If someone's ma'soom and you fight him, you're batil. Secondly, the Prophet said, I don't ask from you nothing except love for him. If you fight him, you're breaking this ayah. Thirdly, if you have a Shia on your side in battle, he has his Shia, that means that you are fighting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Because the Prophet said, Ali is with the Haqq and the Haqq is with Ali. Therefore, for me, when I'm a Shia of Ali, it means that A, I am following the man who, in my opinion, is the best man to explain to me the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And if you fight him, you're fighting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Loving him, all Muslims agree on this, is faith. And hatred of him is hypocrisy. Loving Ali ibn Abi Talib is iman. Hating Ali ibn Abi Talib is what? Is hypocrisy. Now, I call myself Shia of Ali. Because I see this ayah of the Quran, it said him and his Shia. But is it enough for me to call myself Shia? Is that enough? So now if I just call myself Shia, is that enough for me to be alongside Imam Ali alayhi salam? Is my salah the salah of Ali? Is my akhlaq the akhlaq of Imam Ali? Is my trustworthiness the trustworthiness of Imam Ali? Is my tongue as truthful as the tongue of Imam Ali? Is my family relations the relations of Imam Ali alayhi salam? Do I hold on to the Quran the way Imam Ali alayhi salam held on to the Quran? Am I someone who gossips and slanders and backbites in opposition to what Imam Ali alayhi salam teaches? Shi'at Ali is a title, but also has to be a way of life. You found that Imam Ali through, and then his grandsons will always make clear, كُونُ لَنَا زَيْنًا وَلَا تَكُونُ عَلَيْنَا شَيْنًا. Be a source of what? Of adornment for us. That when someone looks at you, he's like, wow, these are Shi'at Ali. It's easy for a person to just say, I'm Shi'a. But it's another level when you try to emulate Imam Ali in everything. كُونُ لَنَا زَيْنًا وَلَا تَكُونُ عَلَيْنَا شَيْنًا. Be a source of adornment for us. Don't be a source of shame for us. How many of us, by our ways, we put shame and embarrassment on Mawla and his teachings? Some of the things we do in the name of Tashayyu', in the name of Ahlul Bayt, is opposite to what was taught by Ahlul Bayt salawatullah wa salam alayhim. حَبِّبُونَا إِلَى النَّاسِ وَلَا تُبَغِّضُونَا إِلَيْهِمْ. Make the people love us. Don't make the people hate us because of you. That when a person looks at you and says, these are Shi'at Ali, I hate them. These are Shi'at Ali, they're crazy. These are Shi'at Ali, they're barbaric. Imam would say, حَبِّبُونَا إِلَى النَّاسِ وَلَا تُبَغِّضُونَا إِلَيْهِمْ. Make the people love us because of you. Don't make the people hate us. And that's why. You want to see the creme de la creme of Shi'at Ali? They were around his bed tonight. They were in his house tonight. Who's the most hardcore Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib? There's a group, a regiment. They're known as Shurtat al-Khamis, the Thursday police. That's Ali ibn Abi Talib's most loyal and most fervent Shia. Shurtat al-Khamis were 6,000 men. You know what these 6,000 pledged to Imam Ali alayhi salam? We will always be at the front of your battles. We put our life for you. We will do everything for you. Anything you order us, we do. Anything you want us to administer, we'll go. You want us to be a governor somewhere, we will be. Do you know what type of names are in Shurtat al-Khamis? The likes of Qambar, Uwais al-Qarani, Rushad al-Hajari, Amr bin Hamak al-Khuza'i, Salman al-Muhammadi, Abu Dhar al-Ghifari. These were Shurtat al-Khamis. Go and research, my dear brothers and sisters. You want to see Shia of Ali? They had a wonderful balance. On the one hand, they had the love for Ali. On the other hand, they had the wonderful yearning for worship and education and knowledge. These Shia of Ali were known as the Thursday police. They were the ones, they would say to Imam Ali, our necks are for you, Mawla. We would rather see our children die and see you alive. Actually, the world is an unjust place, Mawla. If you are dead and we are alive. And you know what was the nightmare for them? What do you think was the nightmare for them? What is the nightmare? The nightmare was separation from him. they used to always wonder to themselves, how are we gonna live a day without Mawla? We say to Mawla, Mawla, they saw you and loved you. We haven't even seen you and we yearn to be with you. These people, Shurtat al-Khamis, the one thing they feared the most was being separated from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, al-Faraq, between them and Imam Ali. When I say separated, you know what separated means? It means that I can't see you for one day. You know how you say to someone, Mishtaq lak, I wish I can see you. When will I see you? Arida shufak, I want to see you. They couldn't take it. Someone says if they were that loyal to Imam Ali alayhi salam, how did Ibn Muljam penetrate? Harith bin Abdullah al-Hamadani, Suwaid bin Ghafla, al-Asbagh bin Nubata, all of these were Shurtat al-Khamis in Kufa. How did Ibn Muljam get through? The biggest myth they created was that there were three Khawarij. One wanted to kill Muawiyah, another Amr ibn al-As, another Imam Ali. The one who went to kill Muawiyah, Muawiyah's armor stopped it. The one who went to kill Amr ibn al-As, conveniently Amr ibn al-As is ill. And the one who killed Imam Ali was killed on that night. It's all a myth. It's all a myth. There was no such thing. Someone wanted to kill Muawiyah and Amr ibn al-As, Imam Ali. What, Amr ibn al-As suddenly falls ill? That's why he didn't get killed? This is a myth. Muawiyah was the reason behind the martyrdom and the murder of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Not only do you see the likes of Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali and Hujr bin Adi point this out, because Muawiyah's henchman Al-Ash'ath bin Qais was in Kufa. Al-Ash'ath bin Qais, treachery within Kufa. And that's why Shurtat al-Khamis felt a guilt on this night. The likes of Suwaid bin Ghafla, the likes of Harith bin Abdullah, the likes of Al-Asbagh bin Nubata, they felt a guilt. How did they penetrate and hit my Mawla? We are the ones who are meant to lay our neck. And they got through. And there's others who were treacherous, but I don't want to mention them on Minbar. I won't mention them. There were others who were treacherous, who made sure that there was a gap for the person to come and strike Mawla. But those Shurtat al-Khamis, like others on a night like this, they were in tears. Because their Mawla was now in extreme pain. The doctor who was there, the doctor, Athir bin Amr al-Sakuni, he was looking at the injury of Mawla. You see the mention of Abdurrahman bin Muljam. He says, my strike would have killed anybody else. But this man, because he was in his salah, it never finished him. Because that same cut Amr ibn Wadd al-Amari had on his head, you had Abdurrahman bin Muljam struck with a free strike Imam Ali's head. Can you imagine the pain in the house in Kufa on a night like this? The pain that envelopes the granddaughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, and the pain that enveloped Imam al-Hassan and Imam al-Hussein alayhim as-salam. Athir bin Amr al-Sakuni narrates, he says, I came, I looked at the head of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi as-salam. I turned around towards Imam al-Hassan alayhi as-salam and I said to him, these are the final moments of Amir al-Mu'mineen. This night will be amongst the final nights of the life of Ali ibn Abi Talib. The tears began to roll from the eyes of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was inconsolable at this moment. I've read, my dear brothers and sisters, that Imam al-Hussein fainted. He fainted at this moment when he heard and he saw his father alone. When he saw the pain overcoming his father's body, he saw so much pain in the eyes of his father that his father said to him, Baba Abdullah, come next to me. He knew very well the house of the heart of Imam al-Hussein was and how close the Imam was to his father. The Imam tried to console his sons by remaining calm, even though he was seeing them emotional at this time. I ask you, my dear brothers and sisters, that when that doctor said that these are the final nights, what happened to the heart of Zaynab alayhi salam and Umm Kulthum alayhi salam? Can you imagine the feeling on the daughters of a father when they know their father is unwell? Any of you, when you've seen your father is unwell, your father cannot move like he used to, when you see your father cannot talk like he used to, doesn't it break your heart? But it breaks the heart of your sisters more than it breaks your heart. That's why one of the poets, what does he say? He says, Umm Kulthum from behind the curtain called out, my tears from my mother's death haven't dried, and now you're about to make me cry even more. My tears from my mother Fatima's death. Listen to the words, my tears haven't even dried. I say to Umm Kulthum, this is 29 years after the door. She said, my tears for my mother's death haven't dried. And now you brought them back even more, oh my father. Can you imagine the heart of Zaynab alayhi salam when she saw Amir al-Mu'mineen in this state? That's why one of the Maraja says, when Mawla saw Hassan and Hussein crying, he remained strong. When he saw Zainab and Kulthum crying, he began to cry because he could take it no more. It's as if he saw Karbala in front of him, and he saw Zainab on the floor and Kulthum running from one end to another. The narrations mention that Imam had to cry when he saw Zainab and Kulthum alayhim as-salam. But then the narrations, what do they mention? Imam al-Hasan alayhi as-salam, he tried to calm them down. And Imam Ali alayhi as-salam said to Habib was there. He said to him, when Habib said, Mawla, it's not as bad as what Amr ibn Nawid struck you with. He said to him, no Habib, this is the one. I could see the prophets of Allah waiting for me. I know that this is the one where I'm going to return. But then Imam said to his companion, Suwaid bin Ghafla, he said to Harith bin Abdullah al-Hamadani, he said to Al-Asbagh bin Nabata, he looked at all of them. He said to them, now all of you can go. He said to Imam al-Hasan, tell them to leave. I don't want to trouble them. Mawla, how can it be trouble? You're the one in difficulty. How are we the one being troubled? The companions of Imam, they left the house. All of them went away. Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam came back to his father. Suddenly, there was a silence. What was the silence? They could hear someone crying at the door. What is it? Who is this that's crying at the door? What is it? I can hear someone crying. Who is it, Hassan? Imam al-Hassan went towards the door. He opened the door. He saw Al-Asbagh bin Nabata sitting at the door. He said to him, Al-Asbagh, what's wrong? You were told to leave. He said, I can't leave. Amir al-Mu'mineen is injured. How do I return home? So Al-Asbagh walked in towards Amir al-Mu'mineen. He sat by Amir al-Mu'mineen. Imam looked towards Al-Asbagh. He said to him, Innaha wallahi al-Jannah. He said to him, Asbagh, I promise you, Jannah is near. But what Asbagh replied, it breaks our heart every year whenever we hear his reply. What does Asbagh reply? All of you join me in this reply. He said, A'lam, Allahu Akbar. I know that Jannah awaits you. Walakin abki li firaqik. But rather I cry because how can I live in a world separated from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam? إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. Ya Allah, raise your hands, my dear brothers and sisters, all of you, wherever you may be. Raise your hands, take your heart to Najaf al-Ashraf on a night like this. Ya Allah, our hearts are with all those in Najaf. Ya Allah, protect the people of Najaf al-Ashraf, Ya Allah. The people of Iraq, whatever difficulties they face, Ya Allah, bless them with the shafa'ah of Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salam. Ya Allah, bless us with ziyarat Amir al-Mu'mineen, alayhi salam. Ya Allah, allow our sons to grow up with the love of the Kisa, with the love of Al-Muhammad, and as Shia of Ali, the son of Abu Talib, alayhi salam. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who are unwell. I received a message about a young boy called Ali Al-Lawati who's feeling very unwell. We have a sister who's missing in Mozambique. Let's all recite together. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amman yujibu al-muztarra idha da'a wa yakshifu al-su. All of us, wherever you may be, raise your hands. Amman yujibu al-muztarra idha da'a wa yakshifu al-su. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. All of you who have your father or your mother injured or unwell on a night like this, raise your hands in dua with a tear in honor of Amir al-Mu'mineen. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the Surah Al-Fatiha for all of our marhumin and our beloved ones who instilled in us the wilayah of Amir al-Mu'mineen. But before it, the loudest of your salawat.